If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
All right, going the distance, we're going to talk Kentucky Derby right now. It's Wendy Snyder. And joining us is Rowan Ward, freelance horse racing writer, editor, chart caller, and contributor to HorseRacingNation.com. How's it going, Rowan?
It's going great. How are you?
I missed the whole thing. Neil came in today and said, hey, we can talk to a friend of mine, Rowan Ward, about the Kentucky Derby. And I'm like, oh, when is it? It was yesterday, huh?
It was yesterday, and it was a thriller of a race. I love those come-from-behind horses. Always very much enjoy watching a closer do their thing, and what a run by Golden Tempo yesterday.
So, yeah, Golden Tempo wins Kentucky Derby. Now, was there something about this being one of the longest races?
Well, yeah, the Kentucky Derby is 10 furlongs or a mile and a quarter, and it's longer than the vast majority of horse races are nowadays, and none of the horses in the Kentucky Derby had ever gone that long.
Wow.
You have a few that have gone a mile and 3/16, including Golden Tempo, who came out of the Louisiana Derby, but they were all trying a mile and a quarter for the first time.
So I did not bet on any horses. We had Arlington racetrack that was here in the Chicago metro area, and it was really fun. I never did very well. I would look at the horses and try and say, oh, they have muscular legs, or try and figure out a way to see who would win. Is there any kind of way you can determine who's going to perform better than the others?
Oh, I love being able to look at the horses in the paddock before the races. I was at Arlington all the time back when that existed, worked there as one of the chart callers for the last few years. Now, I mean, heck, what am I doing after I finish talking to you? I'm going to work at Hawthorne. They're racing at Hawthorne today in Cicero. And if you're looking at horses in the paddock, I like a horse who looks engaged, looks strong, but isn't acting out and jumping all around, you know, kind of like a coiled spring, if you will. Or another thing that I like to see is look how long the race is. If it's a one-turn sprint race, a lot of times just, you know, kind of a more compact muscular sprinter build, if you will, that, you know, that big hind end, that big sprinter butt is something that I look for. Whereas if it's something going a little longer, you know, a more like lean, long distance sort of build is what I look for. So, yeah, it's all, and that's why horse racing live, I like it so much better than on TV, just because you can see the horses, you can get up close to the horses. It feels a lot more close to the horse when you're at the track.
It's pretty exciting, I have to tell you. And these people who own their horses and the jockeys, they love their horses. I mean, you know, there are no more elephants in circuses because they weren't being treated well. These horses, please tell me, are treated wonderfully.
Goodness gracious, I've hung out in the barns, and these horses live better lives than I do.
That's good to know.
Like the trainers, the jockeys, the owners, like you don't get into horse racing unless you love horses, unless you love being around horses. And yeah, respect for the horse is what makes it go around.
Absolutely. I just wanted that to be out there so people know. So were you at the Kentucky Derby yesterday?
I was not. Like I said, I have to work at Hawthorne afternoon. And so, you know, some of my coworkers at Horse Racing Nation were at the Kentucky Derby, and I was providing support from here, you know, doing writing, doing editing, had a reliable internet connection just in case, you know, sometimes on big days, the internet can get a little goofy on site at the racetrack. Seemed to be fine from Churchill yesterday, but you never know. So yeah, I was remote support, if you will, but I watched the Derby on TV, and it was a historic race for several reasons. You know, top of all being, it's the first time a woman trainer has won the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, baby. I love it. Girls rule.
Yes, Cherie DeVoe.
Okay, and that is the owner of Golden Tempo.
Well, trainer.
Or trainer. I'm sorry. Yes, trainer.
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. What other fast facts and fun facts do we need to know about either Golden Tempo or you mentioned some other historical things that happened? Please share, because as I mentioned, I thought it was today.
No, it is. I mean, it is the first Saturday in May, unless something weird like the COVID pandemic happens. So it was yesterday. Cherie DeVoe becoming the first woman to train a Kentucky Derby winner and only the second woman to train a Triple Crown race winner after Jenna Antonucci trained Arcangelo in 2023. Huh. Those are your two women who have trained Triple Crown race winners. It is also the first time that brothers have finished 1-2 as the jockeys. You had Jose Ortiz, who rode Golden Tempo, and then his brother, Rod Ortiz Jr., rode Renegade, who ran an amazing race to be second. He had a nasty trip from the rail draw in that big field. So great race by both of them.
What's the sibling rivalry like in that family?
Oh, I mean, I'm sure it's intense, but they're both two of the best jockeys in the game. And let's just say it's not the first time that the Ortiz brothers have gone 1-2 in a big race. Just the first time it's happened in the Kentucky Derby. Because, you know, a lot of times they're riding at the same track. They've both done a lot of riding, particularly in New York for years. Jose's branching out a little bit now. You see him more in, you know, Kentucky fairgrounds, various places. Fairgrounds being the track in New Orleans where Golden Tempo did all of his preps. But they've ridden against each other a lot at Saratoga, Breeders' Cup, Keeneland, like the best of the best.
Which one's taller and which one weighs more? Because they're a little tiny,
what's
those jockeys.
Funny is, what's funny is I don't know their heights off the top of their head, but I know where to find that information. So.
You know everything. any other little tidbits? Was Golden Tempo favored to win?
Oh, Golden Tempo was not favored to win at all.
I like that.
Golden Tempo was, no, he was a nice long shot. He was 23-1.
Ooh, nice payout.
Because he paid out very nicely. You know, for a $2 win bet, he paid $48.24. The second place Renegade was one of the shorter prices. He was actually the second shortest price in the field. He was 5-1. And then the third place horse, Ocelli, I swear, I spent most of the stretch run yesterday screaming over and over again, Ocelli's not about to break his maiden in the Derby. No way Ocelli's about to break his maiden in the Derby, because he was up front for a good chunk of the stretch run. He was a 70-1 long shot, longest shot in the field. He's never won a horse race in his life.
This is crazy. I got
what's called a maiden.
All right. Now, what's next? The Preakness is next?
The Preakness is next. The Preakness is 2 weeks from yesterday. As of this morning, Cherie DeVoe has not confirmed whether Golden Tempo is going to the Preakness or not. She said that she's taking Golden Tempo back to the base at Keeneland, which is a track in Kentucky. Going to just, you know, do some light jogging for the next couple of days. And if he's come out of everything okay, then she'll make the decision as to whether to run in the Preakness.
Somebody just texted in, and like I said, I didn't see it, but 219 wants to know, a horse fell right before the start of the Derby yesterday?
Yes, what happened, it was behind the gate. They were in the process of loading, and Great White, who is a very well-named horse, by the way, just this absolutely enormous tank of a gray horse, got riled up. I mean, it happens. There's 150,000 people there. It's loud. It's chaos. It's chaos that these three-year-old horses have never seen to that extent. And he reared up and what's called flipped, went over. And, you know, the good news is like he was out there on the track and the dirt surface is, you know, it's designed for horses to run on. It's a lot more cushiony than, say, if the horse was in the paddock. And I watched him. They showed him on TV jogging back away from the gate, and it looked like he was fine. And sure enough, I've seen several reports from John Ennis, his trainer, that he came out of it okay. Alex Achard, the jockey who was on him, came out of it okay. I feel so bad for Alex Achard specifically because it was supposed to be his first time riding in the Kentucky Derby, and they had to scratch. But obviously, if a horse flips before the race, better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
The horse is not going to run, but from everything I've seen, he's okay, and he will be back to run another day, which is great because, one, you always want the horses to be, you know, to be good, to be healthy, to be happy, and two, Great White had become such a fan favorite leading into the Kentucky Derby just because he's huge and gorgeous, and I get it. I'm such a sucker for those big old tank horses. I'm such a sucker for gray horses. Great White is adorable.
You know, my sister has a horse, and I go to the barn sometimes to see her Tess. Tess is the horse's name. And their heads are so big, they really scare me. When all these little heads, well, not little, these giant heads are just looking out of their stalls as I'm walking by, and it kind of freaks me out a little bit. Those things are giant.
Oh, horses, yeah, they're huge, but also just, I think they're so cute. Like, their noses are so fuzzy. Every horse in a barn has their own personality, and just getting to know the different racehorses and their different personalities just makes me so happy. It's really my favorite thing of being around the track is just, I don't know, meeting the horses and, you know, especially meeting one who just, you know, clicks with you for whatever reason, or is just the perfect kind of goofball.
Yeah, and they are goofballs. They all have their own personalities. You did mention Great White was scratched for the Kentucky Derby. Is there another race Great White will be participating in?
His trainer, John Ennis, hasn't announced where Great White is going to come back. There are obviously plenty of races. There's, you know, in the Triple Crown, there's the Preakness and the Belmont, and there are stakes races for three-year-olds all through the summer and into the early fall. The Kentucky Derby, the Preakness, and the Belmont are obviously like the biggest and best known, but in addition to there being the different regional derbies, if you will, as prep races for the Kentucky Derby, there's a whole series of three-year-old races through the summer. The biggest three-year-old race in the summer is a race at Saratoga called the Travers, which is also a mile and a quarter, just like the Kentucky Derby, and has this huge, glorious history and a really fun history of upsets, like American Pharoah, who won the Triple Crown in 2015. And that's near and dear to my heart, because the horse I loved in the Derby and the Belmont that year was a horse named Keen Ice, who just, I had loved him since he broke his maiden at Churchill Downs. Usually I don't have my Derby horse until the week of, but that year, September, I'm like, no, that's my Derby horse. Keen Ice runs seventh behind American Pharoah in the Derby, third in the Belmont. But, you know, they call Saratoga the graveyard of favorites for a reason, which is to say a lot of favorites get beat. And Keen Ice beat Triple Crown winner American Pharoah in the Travers. And that is still one of my all-time favorite races. So, you know, you could have that. Or then there's other big three-year-old races around the country as well. You know, a lot of the tracks will have their summer derbies, you know, the West Virginia Derby, the Indiana Derby, the Pennsylvania Derby is always a big one. That's kind of a one last grade one race against three-year-olds before a lot of them go on to face older horses in races like the Breeders' Cup Classic at the end of the year.
There's so much creativity that goes into naming a horse. Do you have any ideas if you owned a horse, what you would call your horse?
Well, I don't know yet, only because my favorite kind of horse name is one that is a riff on both the sire and the dam. So I would want to see their names, you know, the dad and the mom, if you will. Sire and dam is horse speak for the horse's dad and the horse's mom. And kind of make a pun on that. Like, my all-time favorite horse name is, there was this sprinter about 12 years ago-ish, by a stallion named Elusive Bluff out of Diamond Air, and they named the horse CZ, like cubic zirconia, like fake diamond. Bluff, Diamond CZ.
I love it. Eli Burke is in our sports lounge today. And Eli, I know you've given this a lot of thought. If you had a horse, what would you name it?
Well, it seems like it would have to be an obvious choice just with the subject matter. But I would go with Usain Colt, a play on Usain Bolt, the sprinter.
Yes!
And I feel like it's an automatic win every time.
Yeah, the best I could come up with was Mr. Ed, and that's stupid, and I really haven't put any thought into it. That's a great one, Eli.
Thank you.
Although, a fun fact, what is the offstage name of the horse who played Mr. Ed?
I don't know.
Bamboo Harvester.
Bamboo Harvester. I did not know that.
Speaking of silly horse names, that's a pretty silly one. But yeah, Bamboo Harvester was the horse who played Mr. Ed.
Was that a Jeopardy question or something, Rowan? Is that how you knew?
No, that isn't. I mean, if they asked me it on Jeopardy, I would have been all over it. But no, it's just something I stumbled across over the years. You know, when you're friends with a bunch of horse nerds, you learn a lot of horse facts.
Rowan Ward is on the line with us, freelance horse racing writer, editor, chart caller, and contributor to horseracingnation.com. But you also, you were on Jeopardy. That's pretty exciting. How'd you do?
I mean, it was a wild ride. So funny, my first taping was the Tuesday after the Kentucky Derby in 2021. I could not believe that they called me to tape right after the Kentucky Derby. I ran into a little buzzsaw called Matt Imodio, you know, 38-game champion. Gave him a fight. I was his 18th game, and I was the first player to be ahead of him at the end of the Jeopardy round. A few things didn't shake my way late, so I lost. But then they announced the Second Chance tournament and called me for it. So came back for the Second Chance competition in 2022. I won that and played in the Tournament of Champions. So all in all, it was a real fun ride.
That is excellent. Can I ask how much you won? You don't have to tell me, but I just always feel like you don't really win that much money on Jeopardy.
Oh, I mean, it's all on TV. It wasn't any kind of secret. I finished third in my original episode. I had half of Matt Imodio's score going into final, so I had to bet it all and wiped out on final. So I got the $1,000 third place prize. They've increased it since. I think it's $2,000 for third now, but it was $1,000 when I was there. And then it was $35,000 to win the Second Chance. And then I was unfortunately beaten in my first TOC game, but I still got $5,000 just for showing up. So that was
great. And do you watch Jeopardy all the time and play along at home still?
Religiously. I still watch Jeopardy. I still play in a lot of trivia leagues. It's still just, trivia is something I've always found fun.
Yeah, I love it. And, you know, it's so funny because there are episodes of Jeopardy that I watch that I feel like I'm really a genius. And then I come on a category that I just have no idea whatsoever. Very fun. Well, Rowan,
no one ever tells you about Jeopardy is everyone has their good categories and their categories they're not so great at. Even the best players have their categories that are like, no, I don't want a category on that. Please, anything but that.
Yeah. Well, we all have our specialties, that's for sure. Well, it was so great to talk to you, Rowan. Nice to meet you. A little recap of the Kentucky Derby for those of you just tuning in. It happened yesterday. And thank you. I'd love to talk to you again about some horse racing as the other competitions happen throughout the year.
Thank you so much. I would be happy to. This was a blast.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Rowan Ward. They are a contributor to horseracingnation.com, freelance horse racing writer, editor, chart caller, and perhaps our horse expert here on 720 WGN.